Hallelujah. Would you please go to your iPad, your phones, or your Bibles? I really want to teach on this today and get this cemented in us. The title of this message is called No More Waiting. No More Waiting. Amen. That's for us. Amen. Go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Our brother Paul, the apostle, wrote this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for a reason. And I want to focus on one particular aspect of this scripture today. This word of God, this power subject, this reality that we have in our lives, this truth. This isn't just a nugget, this is a gold mine. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Stop. I want to focus on this today. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now when Paul wrote that, he wrote it, and let me break it down into the Greek here. Okay? When Paul wrote this, we don't get in our English language, we really don't get the depth of understanding of the word unless we search some of these things out. So when Paul wrote that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, he said, or he was saying specifically, that I might understand Him. Because our minds are so clouded and so filled with so much junk and conflict and camouflage and things that we believe that may not be true or may be true or convoluted in some particular way. He said that I may understand Him. And that understanding brings in the concept, this whole aspect of understanding in an intimate way. That I might understand Him. You know, it's... A lot of people say that I might know Him. You know, yeah, I know Jesus. Yeah, I know Him. Yeah, I know Him. I know that guy. That's just a surface that way. Paul's speaking about a depth of relationship with Jesus, with God, that we don't, until we continue to move forward into the relationship, because it's always there for us, but until we continue to move forward into this relationship, we don't really know Him. And when I say there's benefits to knowing Him in this understanding, have you known somebody ever in your life that you've understood them? Not even in, let's not talk just marriage, let's talk friendships, relationships, working relationships, all these kind of different things. When you understand somebody, well, Paul is speaking about this in a way that goes beyond even just understanding the surface, but into the breakdown of the intimacy, that I might understand Jesus in a far more intimate way than I've ever known. Because this changes, this is what changes my life. This is what he's saying, this changes my life. And it's not just a one-time thing. Yes, I know Him. I've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm born again. Know that I might continually understand Him in a much deeper level, in a more intimate way. This is the benefit to me. And the power of His resurrection. Now here's where I think we get a little... We don't get the full gist of this. We really don't. And unless you understand the grace of God or you're growing in the grace of God, it's not going to make a lot of sense, typically. Jesus rose from the dead. Praise God. I'm alive because I'm born again. It goes beyond this. It goes deeper. Just like knowing and understanding Him. That I may know Him and the power, this is speaking about the supernatural power of God, this explosive, kind of mighty, awesome, incredible power that created the universe, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Resurrection means literally from the Greek being raised from the dead. Now, the power of His resurrection is the power that transforms from death to life. It's transformation. It's the power of transformation. This is a lot of times what we don't see. This is from death to life. It's actually from death to a new life. That's what we're talking about. We had a, Rosie and I had a somebody that we knew fairly close to, and at one time, and this woman was, she was Japanese, and she grew up in Japan, emigrated to the United States, and she was a Buddhist. She grew up as a Buddhist, lived her life as a Buddhist, and in Buddhism, you know, sometimes there are miracles. A lot of it has to do with Buddhism and New Age are a lot alike. Let's put it this way. It has to do with the power of the mind or positive thinking or how we think, and in some ways. It doesn't approach the spiritual aspect like being born again in Jesus. And she understood, you know, the miracles, and she understood that Jesus was a, you know, a godly man. But the thing she couldn't ever wrap her brain around was the resurrection. Because number one, nobody rises from the dead. Nobody. Ever. And number two was the transformation that happens in life. Really, what happened to Jesus, going from death and becoming sin and death, and exchanging that for this brand new life. Now, what he did and what happened with him, when she got a hold of it, it changed her life. Most Christians don't understanding him and the power of his resurrection. Those two points. Do you know most believers? Now, I'm not talking about you. Most believers, most Christians don't understand this. We just take it and go, okay. But we don't go any farther. So that's what I'm going to attempt to do today, because this should radically change our lives. Jesus, the curse breaker, we covered this last week, redeemed us from the power of the curse of the law that came by sin. Jesus' resurrection is the picture, it's a magnificence of a transformed life. The fullness of it. Only the power of God can do this. Nobody can do this on their own. It is a total transformation. It's complete. It's from the zero end of the spectrum to infinity. It is the conquering of sin and every devilish, demonic work. And it is the gathering into himself, into Jesus, all who believe this as a part of his body. I want to jump over to something for a minute. In John chapter 11, the bulk of this chapter of John's gospel is all about the death of Lazarus. And John has this in here by the Holy Ghost for a specific reason. Here's the synopsis. Jesus and his disciples are together, and he gets a report, Jesus gets a report that his friend, his dear friend, dear friend, they're close, is sick. And so he waits. He doesn't go to him. He waits. And Jesus declares to his disciples, he said, this sickness isn't unto death, but it's for the glorifying of God. Well, that's kind of, okay. Why don't you just go heal him, Lord, like you did everybody else? You went to a lot of people. Why don't you go to him? Because this is for the glorifying of God. There's a far greater purpose in this. So Jesus waits till he's dead. And then he works his way over to see him. Now, Jesus is met by Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary. And they both pretty much told him, you know, if you hadn't been here, he wouldn't have died. That was kind of an accusation. Did you really care about him? Do you really care about our brother? I thought he was your friend. Where you been? And Jesus didn't answer that. He said, your brother will rise again. And they both said, well, yeah. You know, in the last days, and when you come back, you know, he'll rise again. And Jesus told them, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, these are the specific points. I am the resurrection and the life. So Jesus goes over to the tomb. He'd been dead for 4 days. Jesus goes over to the tomb and he says, roll away the rocks that are covering, or the rock that's covering the tomb. Open this thing up, because I am the resurrection and the life. And Jesus, to cut it short, speaks to Lazarus and says, get up, come back to life, and get out here. Pretty soon you hear this rustling. And here's this used-to-be corpse coming out in the grave clothes. They wrapped them up in grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Here's the point. There's a lot of information in here. But here's the point. Lazarus was a picture and meant to be a type of transformation from death to life. That's what he was meant to be. This is the glorifying of God. This is the proof text of Jesus being the resurrection and the life. But it was only for one. It was only for Lazarus. You see, Jesus and his resurrection from the dead, his crucifixion unto death, his becoming sin for us, his death in the grave, his going to hell, and his rising from the dead became the witness, the testimony for all eternity. You know, Jesus was seen by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that he was alive after the crucifixion. There's lots of witnesses here. But Jesus' resurrection was the picture of the transformation from death by sin to a transformation of the fullness of life for every person that would believe. Every single human being ever born on this earth, every breathing human being from the beginning to the end, to the last day, Jesus' resurrection is the picture of that total transformation from death to life. It is the witness to us of the reality of the resurrection and the new life that we have in him. That's what this is. Our faith in him, this is where the law of faith activates. Our faith in what he did, our faith, our belief, not just in mental assent, but from the heart, our belief in him and what he did has transformed us, taken us, made this exchange from death by sin to life, here and now in him. This is how it happened. Romans chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Romans chapter 6, verses 10 and 11 says, for the death that Jesus died, he died to sin once for everyone. But the life that he lives to God. I want you to picture something here. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves or consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The root problem for every one of us has been sin, because we're all born into it. Nobody doesn't get born into it. Every human being does get born into it. Thank you, Adam and Eve. Listen, we'd all done the same thing, but God made the way. What he wants us to see is this understanding of him and the power of his resurrection and the reality of a transformed life here and eternity. That's what happened to us when we got born again. That's the reality of what happened. That's the reality of where we were. We were all dead. Isn't there some TV show called Dead Men Walking or Dead Walking or The Walking Dead or whatever it is? They're all dead. Anyway, that's what we were. We were the walking dead. You can tell I don't watch TV. We were the walking dead. And we made this exchange. This is where Christians don't get it. Not you, but most believers don't get it. We were transformed. We were in Jesus the moment we said, yes, be my Lord, be my Savior, be my King. We went from dead to alive, just like He did. And that new life is that picture of what He did. That's ours. That's us. We went from, oh boy, I could run around the church. I really could. We died and we rose with Him. His resurrection life, now I'm going to make another point here, has already provided for us, because we're no longer dead. We're alive, right? His resurrection has provided for us because we're in Him. Why do so many Christians live still waiting for the things that God has provided? Why are we still waiting? Because we don't understand what we have in the power of His resurrection, actually our resurrection in Him. We don't get that yet. Proverbs 13, verse 12. And I'd really like you to hear this. So many believers settle for so much less than our resurrection, our new life in Him has already given us. Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it is a tree of life. What does that mean? In the Hebrew, let's go back to the original text. In the Hebrew, hope is expectation. Deferred is postponed or put off. Makes the heart sick is grieved. I mean, grieved to the heart, where you're grieving, like grieving for somebody or grieving for a loss. But when the desire comes or the longing comes, it is a tree of life. It is sustaining and it revives. So here's the synopsis. When our expectation of what we have or what the promises of God are in this life are postponed or seem to be postponed, it makes us sick in our hearts. We grieve it because we long for it. But when that longing is met, it revives and it sustains us. Okay? Are we on the same page? Okay. What Jesus did in the power of His resurrection was give us what we've been wanting, desiring in this new life. We're not waiting for these things anymore. So many people are still waiting. So many Christians are still waiting for all these aspects of this life in Him, in Jesus, that you don't wait for anymore because they're already yours. You see, hope hasn't been deferred. Hope hasn't been, our expectation hasn't been put off. It's been met. Our expectation has been met. Our desire has been fulfilled. And it is the tree of life to us. It sustains and revives because Jesus is that tree of life. Once we get born again, we've eaten from the tree of life. And everything from that tree of life is ours now. Because we're in Him. We've rose again from the dead in Him to a totally, completely new life. We're alive forever. By His faith, He did what we could never do. By His performance, He completed the righteous requirement of the law. By His resurrection, He gave His life to us. By His resurrection, He gathered us into Him in one body, His body. There's no more postponement. All of God's promises are ours because of the resurrection, which is that changed life. It never was ours when we were dead. The longing's been met. Forever. Here's my third point. And this is who we are in Him. This is who we are and what we have. This is what most people are waiting for. Not us. We're not going to wait for it. Because we know God by His grace. The resurrection is a part of His grace to us. This resurrection, this is a part of being that new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, that's what it means to be born again. How He's gathered us into Him, made us a part of Him. When He rose, we rose. Once we accepted it by faith. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation, gone from death to being alive. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Most Christians are not living in Him. They're still living with one foot, yeah, I'm born again and I believe this, but I'm still waiting for everything to happen. I'm still waiting for all the promises to become mine. I'm still waiting for what God has given me. What is it about this new life that's so great? My life still stinks. Everything is still the same. I'm still stuck in the same things I was. I'm still lacking. I'm still sick. I'm still, you know, all these parts and pieces. You don't have to live there anymore. First of all, the curse has been broken, right? Jesus, the curse breaker, is taking care of that. Number two, we don't understand the power of His resurrection. And seeing that is us. We've been raised from the dead, no more to die. And we are in Him. This is what we have in Him and who we are in Him. In Him, we have a covenant of abundant life with God. I'll give you the scriptures later if you want them. In Him, we are the righteousness of God. In Him, we have been transformed and given a brand new life. There's no more old life. It's not there anymore. In Him, we have all the promises of the covenant, and they are yes. They are all yes. In Him, we have redemption, or we're bought back from sin and all its effects. In Him, we have an inheritance. In Him, we are loved and adopted by God as sons and daughters. In Him, we are more than conquerors. In Him, we are able to do all things. In Him, we are strong. In Him, we have authority and dominion and power. In Him, we are free from the curse. In Him, we are healed. In Him, we are prosperous. In Him, we are secure. In Him, we are fearless. In Him, we are alive. In Him, we are complete. That's what we have in the resurrection of Jesus. That's us. When we get born again, we have risen from the dead into a new life.
Amen.
That's ours. Man, can you take the bull by the horns and go with it? I mean, really. How do you get there? How do you do this? How do you reinforce your resurrected life? How do you stop waiting for who you are and stop waiting for what you have? How do you do this? You have to understand Him. Know Him. Know that when you look at Him, you're not looking at you and what you can do. It's not you, it's Him, it's God who came in the flesh. It's what He did. It's His performance. It's not you. So often we put our eyes and our heart and our mind on us, and we keep going back to what was old and gone. That's not living in Him. That's living in us. That's when we do those things, that's denying what He did. the power of his resurrection. See, the power of his resurrection, God raising him from the dead, again, it's the picture that we have of what he did with us and who we are in him. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't put your eyes, your mind, your thoughts on who you were. If even it was right up till this morning, don't go back anymore. That has to be number one. I'm not going backwards anymore. Number two, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. There's 2 points on this. I'm going to wrap with this. Ephesians 4, verses 23 and 24. It says, number one, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In the Greek, this means all that junk that's in there, rolling around, back and forth, up and down, sometimes it pops out and you go, whoa, where did that come from? The reason it's still in there is because that part of your mind is not renewed. Really? Yeah, it's just not renewed. That part of your mind or our minds isn't working in the fact that you are a new creation, that you have a new life. I look at my life and I go, my gosh, I got a new life. I didn't just get a new lease on life. I got a new life. That's the same thing for you. That's the power of his resurrection. This renewing, this be renewed in the spirit of our mind is in the way that we think, how we think. When we think about understanding him and the power of his resurrection, when there's no more waiting for the things that he's promised, that they're ours now, then my thinking being renewed in this is getting rid of the junk and saying, that's not mine anymore. You have to release these things. You have to be okay with letting them go. You have to be okay with saying, that's not me anymore. You have to be okay if it means looking in the mirror and say, nope, that's not me. I don't care. You know what? If you got people telling you that you're not going to change or this is you, you probably need to back away from them. Amen. If you've got people telling you that that's where you are and that's where you're going to stay and this is what your life is all about, then you need to get away from them. And you need to be with people who are going to build you up in the truth of who you are. You know, and I know this hurts sometimes because we maybe break some relationships. Do you want to live in this new life? This is your choice, every one of us. Are you willing to be renewed in the way that you think, the spirit of your mind? You got to get rid of the junk, and it means getting rid of all the baggage. I hate to say it like that, but that's really what it is. The baggage, if it's there, and if you're reminded about it, you determine whether or not you're going to hold on to it. That's number one. Number two, that you put on the new man or new woman, which was created. This is the transformation that happens with the resurrection. Your resurrection. You were raised from the dead. Created according to God. In true righteousness, not self-righteousness. True righteousness and true holiness. Because that's what you have. That's who you are. But you have to put them on. You have to do this. I can't do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. You have to do it. It's your job. It comes down to it being your choice. The more you understand what it is to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put off the old, put on the new you, the resurrected you, all these things that I read off, this list of who you are in him, it's like they explode in the reality of your life. They happen. This is the power of his resurrection taking effect in you. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put off the old person. put on the new who was created. Not recreated, created in true righteousness and holiness. That's you. Put them on all the time, not just once a day, all the time from now on. Amen?
Amen.
Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. That I may know Him and understand Him intimately, and the power of His resurrection, because this is for me. This is my greatest benefit in this life. This is it. If you only understand or think about this or face it once a year, that's not enough. We need to look at this all the time. Be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new person regularly. I've always wanted to skydive. Never did. And no, don't anybody offer to take me. I'm not, at this point in my life, I'm not going to do it. But I always picture, you know, picturing things is something that helps me. I always picture being in a plane, skydiving plane, and having the door open, and there's two of me. I'm beside myself. And there's two of me at the door, at the jump door. And I see these thoughts, I hear these thoughts, I feel these thoughts come, just like everybody else. And I make a decision to the old man out the door without a chute. Those things help me. It's just one of the ways that we can do this. Now, whatever works for you, and keep the new. And keep the new on and in. And stop waiting. You don't have to wait anymore for the things that you have and who you are in Him. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Team? I keep feeling like, I don't know who you are, but you're not sure. You're born again. Just have a question. You don't know whether Jesus really is your Lord and Savior, whether He's really made you new, whether you're at new creation with a new life. And when I close, would you please don't leave today? Please come and talk to one of these people up here, one of the team up here. They will help you ensure that this new life is yours and all that you have available right now. Operating in the supernatural is a part of the grace God's given us. He's given it to us. Because we don't understand it, we're taught against it, maybe it was in our background and it was out of line, the supernatural aspect of this changed life is real. And it's ours. It's been given to us by the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you don't understand this and you want to begin to experience more of this reality of this new life in power, would you please come and talk to one of the prayer team up here? They will tell you lead you, share with you, teach you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what this means. And they will help you. Lastly, if there's anything else that you would like to get dealt with, these people operate in faith and power. We've had a lot of healings here in the last couple weeks, piles of them. If you've had a healing or a miracle, would you please write it down? Would you please write it down and give it to Pastor Schoen or myself so that we can share these things with others, because it's a tremendous inspiration for people to know that, wow, God did this for them, He'll do it for me. You have anything else you want to get dealt with? You want to get prayer for? You want to see a change in your life? If you want that, I mean really, if you want that, you can have that. If you go away from here without that, that is your choice. But man, if I have something I want to get dealt with, I want to get it dealt with now. I don't want to wait. It only hurts us not to deal with things, not to get prayer for things, not to deal with something in faith if we put it off. It only hurts us. Let's get rid of the hurt, shall we? And the reason for it. Get it dealt with. Expect the miraculous. Expect it. God doesn't disappoint. Amen? Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love and our faith that can work by love when we know and understand who you are, Father, what you've given us through Jesus and this brand new life. For who we are in Him, that we don't wait anymore for what you've given us. Help us to be cognizant all the time that we are new, not old. Not anything to do with the old. We're new forever. Help us to put that on regularly. When we pray, Lord, we come in faith and we expect the miraculous. And you never disappoint. Your word doesn't disappoint. Your word is the truth. Solid and real. I want to thank you for showing us always the who you are in what we come to you for. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Happy Resurrection Day, everybody.